Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Good morning, video games. Welcome once again to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always...
What? I think I just got an extra heart. Why? What? Why is that? Oh, it must be our Valentine's Day special episode. All right, I'm Ben Vanell.
Let's start over.
Well, you want me to do my fucking intro right after that?
Yeah.
You want me to say my name and endorse this production?
Silent protest from Adam Knox.
Not a chance. I'm quiet for this entire episode.
Oh, the dream.
Yeah, it's Valentine's Day. Yeah.
I tell you what, I have not been struck by Cupid's arrow because I am not in love with how Ben kicked off the show.
A common thing that people think gamers do, and I'm a gamer, is to get a new game and take a photo of it and post on the internet, goodbye girlfriend.
Oh,
well, this week things are a little bit different because I'm going to kill Ben for what he said earlier. It's more like hello girlfriend this week.
Yes.
Or boyfriend or whatever you have going on in your life, whether it be a person or not.
Yeah.
No, I don't mean if it's an animal, that's fine. I mean if you're alone, that's fine.
Yeah.
Right.
If it's an animal... if it's like a pet and you just platonically love it.
Absolutely.
Don't fuck an animal though.
I would not do
unless
that.
You're an animal listening. I don't know how smart deep sea creatures might be.
Right, okay, sure. Animal on animal love is fine.
As long as you're the same species. Probably. Right. I don't know where the lines are now. That's up to the animal kingdom to decide.
You got plans for Valentine's Day, Adam?
Nothing specific. Might go to a movie, might go to dinner.
God, that's classic.
Yeah.
That's classic V-Day, baby.
Not going to rock the boat too much on the Valentine's cruise we'll be on. Yeah. Oh, I forgot to mention we're going on a Valentine's.
Right. Valentine's cruise, nice.
Well, I can't imagine anything worse.
No.
Being on a cruise on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Lot
being
of,
on a cruise at all.
Yeah, I don't know. It could, a couple of days could be interesting. I'd like to see what I'd like to see what one's like. I don't think I'd enjoy it enough to want to be there for
like
more than about 2 days.
What am I? The big cruise?
I an opera singer with a throat infection? Because I'm not hitting the high seas. What am I? What am I? An opera singer?
I don't think so.
Well, I'll tell you one of my big romantic plans for this Valentine's Day weekend.
Oh, the weekend as a whole.
The weekend as a whole.
It's an interesting wrinkle.
Seeing the Sonic the Hedgehog movie with boys.
Yeah,
girlfriend
with the
out of town, hit the cinema and see Sonic with the fellas.
Yeah. We're going to go see that this coming weekend. Mm-hmm. And then next week, if you don't want the movie spoiled, then A, you know, get a different company to produce it more than likely.
Mm-hmm.
But B... don't listen to next week's episode because it's going to be a full in-depth Sonic the Hedgehog.
That's why I'm bringing it up.
You've got
a week. Yeah. Get out and see it if you want to hear our full report next week's episode.
We're doing it top to tail. We're doing every aspect. Mm. We're trying to get a themed cup from the cinema.
Oh, yeah.
What else will we do?
It's going to be pretty much... Valentine's Day and Sonic the Hedgehog movie being one day after each other is going to mean that I have two very similar days because both days I'm going to go fast.
I thought you were going to say...
It's an orgasm
love it.
Joke,
both
everybody.
Love it.
Both days you were going to come in a cinema. That's what I thought was coming.
Cupid hit me right between the eyes with that one. I am absolutely in love.
You're
besotted. The only blue balls I'm going to be looking at are Sonic the Hedgehog, speeding up, getting ready to zoom off.
Yeah, okay.
That's a blue ball.
And there might be a golden ring involved.
No. Imagine proposing to someone.
You can edit that out.
Proposing to someone during the Sonic the Hedgehog, the movie. be like, I'm the Eggman. you make me lose my whatever it is.
Well, let's do a bit of prediction for next week's episode. Because, okay. Ben, you booked the tickets for the three of us.
Yes.
The other day. Yep. And at the time that you booked them, we were staring at a completely empty cinema.
Yeah,
I
got it.
How many people
it.
Do you reckon we're going to be joined by the time we hit showtime?
Ooh, it was a small theater as well, I think, when you guys noted. It's it was like a 30 to 40 seater, maybe.
Yeah.
I reckon 15 people.
That's so funny that Sonic the Hedgehog's pulling in comedy festival show numbers.
Yeah. Theaters. And opening night, not even sold out. Brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm thinking a clean dozen, probably.
I reckon us plus 7.
I reckon since we're going to do a whole episode next week, let's save the Sonic talk for
I'm putting a prediction out there in public so that then we can follow up on next week's episode and see how close we all came. I'm picking 7 others apart from us.
Yeah, I reckon a dozen exactly.
I reckon an awkward 2.
Just us and a couple.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. But in the meantime,
yes,
we've got some Valentine's stuff planned. If you're at home, like we've got
He's
plans.
He's going with
Tommy.
The word planned.
But if you don't know what to do, me and Tommy have already made plans. Great boyfriends. I've got dinner/movie.
Yeah,
I haven't made plans at all.
Yeah,
my girlfriend's in a different state.
That's right. You said a joke answer.
But that is. That's set in stone. You know exactly what you're doing.
That's a good point. Yeah, yeah, we have planned to not be on the same side of the country for Valentine's Day. It's beautiful when you think about it.
Yeah.
If you're in a different situation, like Ben, do you have solid plans yet?
No.
Well then, thanks for playing along.
Yep. Yeah, no.
Perhaps you might benefit from a list that we'll concoct of the best video games to play with a significant other.
Yeah.
That's the plan.
Yep.
That's my plan, at least. Even if you don't want to do it and you want to do the news and shit, in the back of my head, I'm going to be thinking of co-op games.
All right. I like it.
Super Mario World. Fuck! That's not one. Actually, wait. Maybe that is two-player.
It is.
Yeah, you can be Luigi.
Oh, no, wait.
It's fucking dog shit, though. That's like swapping between and one person.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's boring. I thought you were talking about the Wii U one. That is actually multiplayer.
Who would ever talk about it?
With the bubble.
What?
You know how if you die and you go in a bubble? Or is that the Wii?
That's what you live in. You bloody bubble while you're alive here. You Twitter cuck.
Yeah.
You're in a bubble.
I live in a leftist bubble.
We do have a couple of things to talk about up the top of the show before we get into the Valentine's Day list.
Yes.
Bit of news going on this week. We don't really have anything to say about this, but just to prove that we are aware of its existence.
Yeah.
Pokemon Home has launched.
It's launched.
This is the service where you can keep an index of all the Pokemon that you've caught across every game in the series? Is
Not
that
every
right?
game. There's like a hard cut after the first two on the original Game Boy, I believe.
Right.
And then from there, you can kind of bring them up.
It's like up to 6,000 you can store in total. It's like $16 a year, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can bring them into Sword and Shield if they're one of the chosen random ones that are allowed in that game.
Yep. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so good for them. Whatever. It's a subscription thing. We're never going to use it. We're not big Pokemon people.
That's it.
Interested to hear from people who listen, who are using it, what they think of it as a service.
Yeah.
Number one game to play on Valentine's Day with your significant other. One of you can grab Pokemon's Sword, the other Pokemon Shield. And then together you can sit in the living room for 3 hours until you realize this sucks. Mm-hmm. And then you go your separate ways, much like an adult should from the Pokemon franchise.
Yeah, okay.
Jeez.
Speaking of Sword and Shield, the Nintendo had recently said that they were going to track down, because the game was plagued by leaks in advance of it coming out. A lot of controversy around the cutting of the Pokedex and all that kind of stuff. And Nintendo had vowed to... They got their man Dog the Bounty Hunter onto this. They gave him a copy of the cartridge. He took a whiff and then he was off.
He's
not an actual dog.
No,
I thought he was like McGruff. they found out that it was a Portuguese Nintendo website,
right?
News website that had an advanced review copy of it. I don't quite know how they worked this out that it was them, but they managed to. Yeah, realized that it was them and really went hard and said they're going to have no support. They're severing all ties with them, all that kind of stuff. And the website, you know, they copped it. They put out a statement. They were like, yeah, we fucked it. We let him down, we let ourselves down, and we let the readers down.
I wonder if this would have been as big of a deal if people weren't so unhappy about the content of those leaks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If it had built hype instead of decimated it, then maybe they wouldn't have cared.
They would have said, sent Kat the
friendship hunter.
Yeah, what's the opposite of a bounty?
Friendship hunter is good.
Like a Mars bar?
Isn't it? It's like a bounty is like, I've put a price on your head.
Yes.
For you to be murdered.
Yes.
So,
or captured.
It would be, I've put a price on your head for this person to go and do something nice to you.
Yeah. Still call it a price on your head.
Yeah, shouldn't it? Mm. You'd be receiving money. For
that's
a friendship.
Get the bounty. Yeah.
What are those things called? The gift baskets. There's another word for them. A hamper.
Mm.
That's what I was trying to think of. Cat the hamper giver.
Yeah.
I feel like getting a hamper is the opposite of a bounty. I don't know why, but that's just what it is.
Okay.
Cat the hamper hunter sounds like the kind of character that would be in a modern Sonic the Hedgehog game.
Yes.
They just have the most dog shit characters in those games.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a giant cat and it gives out picnic baskets to people.
There's not that many cat themed games, even though the cat is the most Valentine's Day esque animal. I feel like a cat is
walk that back just one moment.
You know what I mean? Like a kitten to hang around, it's, you know, a very Valentine's Day cuddly thing. So the number two game to play with your significant other, Blinks the Time Sweeper.
Have you ever played that?
I haven't had a girlfriend ever in my life.
Oh, yeah, okay, right. Yeah.
Unfortunately.
So you're forbidden from playing it.
These are all just going to be educated guesses from here on.
Yep.
Blinks the Time Sweeper. You can go back in time to when she still loved you. You can fast forward to when the kids grow to resent you, realizing you caused it to happen. Or you can pause and live in glorious ignorance forever.
That sounds like a good game.
Yeah, that'd be all right.
I'd love to play that with my significant other.
Pause is spelled P-A-W-S, by the way.
I was going to ask if that was something from the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I saw that, maybe it was probably Bubsy that did it. P-A-W-S being like, oh my God.
Now, hold on. They've misspelled this.
Yeah.
What's that? Wait a minute.
Boy, someone down at the Bubsy factory is going to get fired for this blunder. Just could not believe my little 10-year-old eyes. Mm. The funniest fucking shit I'd ever seen in my life.
So there's another bit of news that I thought sucked. You remember how they were making System Shock 3?
Yes.
So everyone working on that game apparently is no longer employed. They don't have a publisher anymore.
Oh, I was going to say, ask if it was because the game was finished. And
no.
Project is wrapped. Everything's great. It's a positive end to a normal game development story.
That positive end when you finish your game and immediately look for work. Wonderful way to think. Yeah, it's just in the lower end of limbo. You know,
towards hell.
Towards being canned.
Yeah, fuck.
Well, the whole point with limbo is that you want to be on the lower end.
Towards hell.
To go under the pole.
Well, are you limboing? How low can you go?
Fuck off.
That's the point.
I didn't pick it up at all. The number three game to play with your significant other, Limbo. Enjoy the black and white deaths of a child again and again.
Oh, the game Limbo.
The game Limbo.
So that's shitty if that's the case.
Yeah.
I wanted to see that, and I'm sure a lot of other people did too. So,
but that's separate.
It's just a rumor at this point.
Separate to that was System Shock 3.
Yes.
Separate to the remastered System Shock.
Yes.
Which has been done by
a completely different team.
Right. Because
this System Shock 3 was, I believe, Warren Spector and like the original kind of bunch of the original people, and for whatever reason, it's lost. Yeah, interest from publishers. I wonder if it's just a fucking mess and that's why no one wants to pick it up. Because I'm assuming even, you know, 20 years more than after the most recent one of those games comes out, System Shock with Bioshock coming from it, I feel like a lot of people know that.
Yeah.
And a lot of people would be able to track the progression here and still be excited for it. But for whatever reason, it doesn't seem to be interesting people who have the money to make it happen. Mm. So it might be dead, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Oh, well.
What other news do we have? There was a thing where I don't think we talked about this, but there was Nintendo announced a special edition Animal Crossing Switch.
Yeah.
Which in Japan only, you'll be able to get the Joy-Con separately. And I really like the colors on them.
Yes.
So I was looking into getting them imported, and they were meant to have shipped, I think, pretty soon, next week.
Mm.
But they've been held up because of that darn coronavirus.
Oh, yeah.
Coronavirus yet again.
Yeah, I did it through this.
Hundreds of people have died. I probably shouldn't be using this flippin' voice.
Thousands. Now.
Thousands.
1,400 and something people.
Coronavirus.
Yeah. It's bad.
Beautiful towards the end.
The main thing is that your purchase of
been put out
Joy-Con.
My little colourful toy for babies.
Yes.
Is literally take
more baby looking even with that blue and green. They're very soft.
They're very Fisher-Price.
Yeah.
But I like them. I want to return to being a child.
Well, I already have Joy-Con attached to the console, so I'm planning to get these ones and hang them above my bed and make them slowly spin around, that I can look at them and be soothed to sleep.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, speaking of Animal Crossing, the number four co-op game or whatever to play with your significant other is not Animal Crossing because unfortunately there was a bunch of stuff that came out about that. You can only have the one island per Switch. You can't transfer saves between different Switches even, which sucks.
Yeah.
Because normally with most things, so I, a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Went
yeah.
in on a
second version of the same console.
A second Switch.
Yeah.
I got a Switch Lite. I wanted one of those fuckers ever since. Did I talk about
we
this?
We talked about this last week. Yeah.
Cool. Well, I have that now.
It was funny watching you run up to like this big announcement that we both knew.
Yeah.
He's already done
I tried
this.
To get in there and say exactly what he was going to say.
Now, boys, now you're going to absolutely shit your pants when you hear this bombshell announcement.
The fourth best game to play with your partner is literally finding a tactful way to tell them they have mentioned this story to you before. The fifth best game is hiding your receipts from frivolous purchases.
That's what I thought you were going to say. Yeah, breaking it to your partner that you spent $300 on.
No, cheaper.
$250?
Less than that even.
Wow.
It was like $239 or something. I got it on the special. It was cheap.
All right.
Oh, wow.
Well, not cheap.
But a great way to break it to your partner is say it's $300 and then go, actually, it was much, much less.
Tax deductible, baby. Mm-hmm. But I like it and I'm stuck now.
So
you can transfer your saves with any game. Not all of them use cloud saves, where you can just do it automatically with your online account.
Right.
But all of them you can, if you've got both Switches next to each other, transfer the save one way.
But you won't be able to do. So you won't be able to play Animal Crossing across both of your Switches.
No. So I have to make a choice.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Part of the reason that I got the Switch Lite was just because the regular Switch, the screen was getting a bit scuffed.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I wasn't treating it
again,
well.
Again, we've been through all this last week.
Just to reiterate, if someone skipped the episode
previously
last week.
Previously on,
This is how good of an active listener I am. It still sounds like I've heard this. I'm hearing this for the first time.
That means you're a terrible listener. Or maybe that's
the
point.
Wait. It proves how good I am at appearing to be an active listener,
which is 90% of what active listening is about.
Yeah.
I mean,
obviously, you want to play it on your Switch Lite because that's the only mobile version of the console. Wait a minute, they're both mobile.
Yeah, exactly. But the scratches
why
on the
would
screen,
you have two of
the
them?
The Switch Lite feels nicer. It's a little cool thing. I like it. The battery is slightly better. You can have one just sitting in your backpack all the time if you want.
Yeah.
Absolutely, it is. And again, I'm justifying this. I forgot that I talked about it last week, but I do assume that I had to justify it then.
Very much so.
But yeah, you don't need it, but it's nice.
But you can't transfer this game, which would be nice to be able to take anywhere.
Right.
Or play on a console on a TV.
So I looked into, you can get screens repaired on Switches for $145.
Yeah, we did suggest this last week. Well, was our brainwave, not yours.
You didn't have exact numbers. You didn't have exact numbers. Every time I record one of these, it goes out the other side of my brain. Every single time. But so I might even do that as well as having this other Switch. I don't know what.
Well, you saved so much on the Switch Lite. Mm. You can afford to splash out on that screen repair for your original Switch.
It's cool. It's a nice extra little thing. It feels
this
good to have.
This cunt loves Nintendo.
Yeah.
I'm the Nintendo one out of the three of us, for sure.
God.
I'm lashing out because I feel jealous.
Yeah. You don't even have those new Joy-Con yet.
I know.
You're still one pair of Joy-Con behind Nox.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Switch Lite, it's all attached to the thing. So if anything, I've got fewer than anybody. I don't know.
That
if you're in that strange position, I think playing it on the Switch Lite is probably the way to go, I guess.
Yeah.
It's the sort of thing you'd want to have around.
It is one of those weird things where for the majority of people, not being able to like transfer the saves and everything or have a second island on this game, for the majority of people, it really won't affect them too much. So it's easy to say, who cares? But at the same time, why?
I don't know.
It's just classic them where it's like, why not just be able to have transfer the save data and have multiple?
Yeah. This is the one game that a lot of people I've seen talk about how, oh, well, we both want to play it, me and my partner who live together or whatever, so we're going to get another Switch. We're maybe going to get a Switch Lite.
Right.
Or we both want to have separate islands, but we just have the ones. So,
but you can have, you can still
weirdly
have.
Weirdly, the first one that is a big use case for having two Switches. Not use case, but.
But yeah, like be able to drop into the same game or play the same game on multiple handsets.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
Is it like, isn't it, so you can still have multiple accounts on the one copy of the game.
Just on the one island.
But yeah, so I would be able to, when I'm playing on my file, I'd be able to walk around and see your house there and all that.
If we were sharing a Switch, we'd be on the same island, just different saves.
Right.
Yeah. Which, and the reason you can't transfer it is apparently because, same reason as this, everything's tied to every account on the Switch. So if you were to transfer the save, it'd move them for all of them.
Right.
Which they can't do because you don't have the permission from every account to switch it over. So
yeah.
Which is a dumb reason. So it all comes from only having the one island, which I think they put out a statement, or I don't know if this was just speculation, that it was just kind of a thing of, oh, that's how we've always done it. It's always just been the one island or town or whatever.
Right.
So we kept doing that. But there's no actual technical reason or whatever for why they would need to do that.
Yeah.
I don't think. And maybe one person would want to have two islands of their own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sort of Epstein style.
Did he have two?
I don't know.
I mean, he had a plane as well, so he's flying somewhere.
And every man's an island. So
technically,
yeah,
there's him, he's an island.
Yeah.
And then there's little St. James Island. So that's two islands.
Yeah.
Yeah, because no one else involved is a man. They're all...
No, that was the whole point. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Oh, God.
Happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
Christ.
Yeah, so that's kind of annoying, but you're right. It won't affect too many people, I suppose. But you're also right, Tommy, where, well, why not make it possible for everyone?
Yeah.
I don't get why they don't let the cloud saves happen with every other game, too. They talk about cheating, but so many games that are multiplayer only let you do cloud saves.
Yeah. Mm.
So, fuck off, Nintendo.
They just haven't put enough time and investment into working it out for their own platforms.
And why would they when they change nothing and sell two of every console to each and every single person who's in the market?
Yep.
Yeah.
There's another piece of news this week that I thought was mildly interesting. It just further underlines...
Here we go, everyone!
Is this Ben's mildly interesting corner?
Yeah, okay, Ben's everything that I say.
Do you want to hear... Here's the jingle. Mildly interesting news corner. It's just the one note, which is mildly interesting, but it's not interesting.
This is another in the series of E3... It's losing its credibility and
Did
interest.
Say ER?
I said
ever since George Clooney left.
Yeah,
ER's been going.
You can never say E and then pause. It'll sound uncertain because it just sounds like you're saying ER.
Yeah.
ER
equals MC squared. That's what you were going to say. Brain box.
Yeah.
Fucking nerd.
Jeff Keighley refused to have any involvement with E3 this year. He literally was like, this. What I've seen of this upcoming presentation doesn't meet the standards that I have for doing a live event.
Yeah.
He's completely opted out. Activision and like Bethesda and stuff are still involved, but him being like sort of one of the key figures in what video games culture is at the moment.
Like arguably the most viewed, at least, probably a video game personality.
Yeah.
Other than like a ninja or whatever. But in terms of like this type of industry event.
Media industry. Yeah, yeah. He's the guy. And like for as ridiculous as I think we all thought the Game Awards would be before it ever happened. And, you know, while it was happening, it has developed almost into a credible event.
Yeah.
It's certainly interesting. There's a lot of trailers there. And yeah, for him being the guy to be like, I'm not getting involved with E3 this year, I think, it just underlines how
that's brutal
far it has fallen.
Yeah.
More and more as time goes on, and the last couple of years haven't been that interesting there, I'm happy to let it go.
Yeah, yeah.
I liked having everything in that. We've talked about this before, but having everything at that needle point of the year where you got all this news at the one time, it was cool in a way. But if the company running it is doing it poorly, then why support it?
Yeah, and I just think maybe the notable thing is that he's taking a stand against it. Because we have seen, like, the company is fucked. It's, like, rushing things, not paying people, overworking them, doing awful deals. Yeah. I think it's nice that this guy is like, I don't support that.
Well, if there's going to be less and less for us to talk about with current E3s as it moves forward, maybe something we could do sometime. Because over on our Patreon feed, for anyone who doesn't get that, we've been doing a wrap-up of the decade and going year by year.
For movies and music and stuff.
Yeah.
Like.
Yes.
Maybe we could do like an episode where we do like a classic E3. So we pick a year and we go back through and we watch like the trailers of the things that got announced and try and critique on like just what we're, you know, just what they showed.
Yeah, yeah.
It could be interesting.
Yeah.
Because I do remember like the biggest, the heyday of it.
Mm.
Just having to wait for like a month later for it to for screenshots to pop up in a magazine.
Yeah, yeah.
And then at a certain point getting a little CD-ROM on the front of the magazine and be like, God, this is so high tech. Now we can actually see the trailers themselves.
It was always so shitty when they would just be a description in the magazine of this great trailer, but it was kind of a poor description.
Yeah.
You'd be like, I can't visualize. Oh, and also I was like 9. So I can't visualize this at all because I haven't developed the capacity in my brain to be able to picture things, which I think you probably should have by 9.
Absolutely. At 9.
Absolutely.
Sure?
Yeah.
I've never been an imaginative person. The number 6 game to play with your significant other is Little Big Planet or Super Mario Maker. Mm-hmm. And you do the technical stuff and they come up with the ideas.
Nice.
Get someone in there to supplement your imagination.
Okay? A real artiste.
And then you take all the credit. That's how I've always done it.
So I think that's basically it for news for the week.
I think so, yeah.
I dipped
there
in.
Was really quickly, we I guess mention it, but there was a thing that BioWare put out about Anthem and like how they're going to work on it in the future and shit.
Yeah.
But who has any reason to believe them or think that they would be capable of making it good? Anyway?
Yeah. Yeah. So. They haven't made a good game in 2 games.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been years for sure. So, who cares?
I dipped in on the Fire Emblem DLC that came out today for 3 houses. It's the full side story thing.
With the fourth house.
With the fourth house.
Yeah.
And baby, it's good to be back. So it's like its own choice that from the main menu. So it's like its own completely separate to the game. Although it does say, I think there's certain things that once you, I think once you finish it, some of the new characters do show up in the main game for you.
Okay.
If you then continue playing the
main game. So if you like played through it once, then played through this, and then did the second playthrough, that might be the best way to do it.
I think, I think so. Because that's kind of the position I'm in. I never did a second playthrough of it. So yeah, kind of, you kind of go in there and you there's just a setup where you know, you go under the monastery and you encounter the new house and you kind of go down there with a kind of a mix of people from all the different houses.
Oh, okay.
So it's not... Well, weirdly enough, in my first playthrough I played as the Golden Deer, and the guy who's the head of the house in that, in the little cutscene things, he was referring to me as Teach. So I don't know if it's in some way like linked itself to the one playthrough I've done, or if that's just a coincidence. But anyway, so you kind of have like, the 3 house captains and then a couple, like one other person from each house.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the option when you start this up of doing, like setting the difficulty and putting permadeath off or on. And I didn't play with permadeath when I played it through the first time. And kind of, you know, as it went on, like, oh, I feel like I'm only getting half the experience. So with this, I went, cool, all right, I'll have the permanent deaths on. And man, oh man, I had really gotten used to playing it in a certain way.
Yeah.
I'm doing a Ben Van Elt trick of just getting everyone wiped out in my first like battle I've done.
Yeah, it's easy to go bowling when you play with bumpers, isn't it?
I'm playing the game. It's made me realize I play this game like a fucking asshole. There's no consequences for me whatsoever. Yeah. So I think I honestly think I need to restart the save file because, it really is beating my ass already.
Yeah, it's tough. I felt the same like when I realized no one else had lost all of their students, but it was like, well, I'm like 20 hours in now. I can't start again. Like, we're playing this to review it.
My favorite gaming memory of 2019, Ben Vanel walking around an abandoned school. But yeah, it's good to be back into Fire Emblem. Seems like it's good. It's, you know, a cool way of justifying this other house that can't factor
right
too heavily into the main story.
Mm-hmm.
The new characters seem cool, and yeah, there's like some differences to it where there's stuff to do with like the classes and what you can do in terms of teaching and everything, but it feels like it's a pretty chunky standalone side story.
Nice.
So yeah, good to have an excuse to go back in.
Do you remember how much the like expansion pass how much that expansion pays, or if you just bought this individually, how much would you expect to be paying our ass?
Well, Foghorn, I can't remember.
Yeah,
yeah, I have no idea.
Great, really.
I think it's 20.
I do not find your answer satisfied. I'm saying some of my words back to front today. That's how we do it down south, because we don't normally have to talk this quick. Things move at a different speed down here.
I think it was $25 or something, maybe. But yeah. I have no idea. I got it when the game came out.
Sure.
So yeah, I have no idea. But it's 25, and that's been, you know, there's been other very cosmetic stuff.
Yeah, like
in the lead up
item
to this.
Packs and whatever.
Yeah, I think a couple of auxiliary battles as well. They added like a couple of extra characters showing up in the monastery. They've kind of been drip feeding out, but I think this is the final one. This is the big boy.
Number seven game to play with your partner. Mario Kart. It's fun.
Yeah.
Good multiplayer.
No
game.
Argument.
Expansion pass, $25 US.
Oh.
Fuck no, that's what I wanted it, Ian. That is the amount of dollars I expected to have.
So what's that, like 35 Australian something
like that? Yeah. $40. That's about normal for like a season passy type thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. If it's like a 4, 5, 6 hour expansion pass, that's good.
I've also got one final act to go of Kentucky Route Zero.
Yeah.
Until I've finished it, at which point I will enter the pantheon of some of the greats of our time, like a certain B. Vanell.
I would love to do a little, at the end of one of these episodes, little sealed section.
Absolutely.
Spoiler thing about Kentucky Route Zero.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is that I reckon this is heading into territory of rare games that we've talked about, mm-hmm. we all love,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and we talk about to the point of irritation to a lot of our listeners.
Yeah.
A list that, to my knowledge, includes Breath of the Wild, Red Dead Redemption 2,
yes.
and now Kentucky Route Zero.
Yeah, I reckon Persona 5's in there as well.
Probably, yeah.
I explained the plot of Persona 5 to my girlfriend last night.
Yes.
You want to talk Valentine's plans?
Oh, baby.
How's that? She found a pillow that I didn't want her to find, and so I had to justify it.
Hey, that game has a cat in it. It's a very Valentine's-y game.
Exactly.
Classic.
So I finished Kentucky Route Zero last night. I did some reading afterwards. I want to talk about it because I feel like this is an overlooked game. I was reading some like big interviews and pieces, and a lot of the comments, I think it was Polygon, rated it as possibly the most important game of last decade.
Interesting.
Right.
And the comments were like, why? What? I haven't played it, but I've also never heard of it, so that means it can't be important. It's like there's nothing going on graphically. I don't understand how this game that I don't know about as a gamer can be this good.
I mean, I think a lot of people, like myself included, only got into it recently because it only was fully complete this year.
Playing through it in as a complete package of all the chapters, the main thing I've been thinking is like, this would have driven me insane if I had been playing it episodically and like
completely
finishing a bit, and then it's like, cool, now wait 3 years for the next bit to be
out.
I
would have had to replay each of
totally
those. Like I'd have played the first act 4 times.
It's like it would be like reading a book, but if you only got 50 pages of the book available to you every 3 years.
Nightmare.
Infuriating. Yeah. But yeah, I loved it. This is up there for an all-timer for me.
Let's say, do you reckon next week attached to the Sonic episode? Or week after?
Maybe the week after.
We probably won't need it next week.
And, you know, it's not that long of a game.
Yeah.
Anyone, I reckon, could finish it in a week, probably.
I would recommend, if you want to play it, try and play it before next week. Maybe we do it at the end of Sonic. Maybe we don't.
Maybe not. Let's leave it for a week.
Let's give
people plenty of time, because it is really... The way I was,
and also it'll just be attached to the end of the episode.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to hear any of it, you don't have to.
Yes. Yeah.
I've been treating it like a book. Reading,
yes.
doing it late at night, like last thing before bed. That really is the best time to take it in.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kentucky Route Zero, a heavy recommendation from all three of us. Mm. We'll go into like full spoilers of it in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Have you finished it, Knox?
I haven't completely finished it yet.
Right.
I've got a little bit more to go.
Where are you up to?
I need to do the fifth act.
So. Yeah, oh, okay. Right. I think
have
we're at
the
same
point. Have you started the fifth act?
No. Because I've needed to take them all in at once if I'm going to do them.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know. There's something about it where you have to have breathing space in between each one.
I really agree, yeah.
So, yeah, 2 weeks we'll go into like a full spoiler thing in that because I think it's a really interesting.
I just went to WA for a couple of days and I kind of
Western
thought
Australia.
Western Australia.
Yes.
I kind of thought, oh yeah, I'll finish this off on the plane and then just looking at the switch, I went, not like this.
Yeah.
you know, I want to be in my apartment, bit of mood lighting.
Yeah.
Muji air diffuser going full blast next to me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't feel right to do it on a plane, getting distracted by getting my elbow ripped off by the drinks cart every 10 minutes.
No, that's fair.
That's Dan Brown novel territory.
Mm. Yeah.
You don't want to be reading a classic like Dan Brown's The Da Vinci Code. You want to be reading Dan Brown's The Angels and Demons.
Yeah.
I'll
the
tell
Angels
you what
in the Outfield. I believe he wrote.
I'll tell you what I did instead. Dan Brown's Curb Your Enthusiasm season 10.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Nice.
So, what about you, Knox? You played a game you were telling us about.
Yeah. The seventh best game to play with your partner?
No,
eighth?
Eighth, I think.
Eighth. Probably wouldn't be The Pedestrian, but that's what I've been playing. It's a 2D platformer that takes place with your character is a little person on a toilet sign. So you choose either
game. Yes.
Yeah. So you choose if you want a male or a female looking protagonist at the start, and then you run across street signs and things like that, basically.
Right.
It's like a 3D rendered world in which you are a 2D stick figure moving around on just the signage that is in that world.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's not, like, it looks cool and stuff. There's not a huge reason for most of those signs to be there.
Okay.
Sometimes you'll run across a traffic light thing or a little animated traffic light or a street sign or whatever and you're like, oh, cool. Or like a cafe blackboard.
Right,
and
right.
Like, that would be there. But sometimes there's just like six signs up on like the glass of a shop and you're like, sure. Whatever, this is a video game.
Maybe you could have been in like a teenager in the late 90s in his bedroom because they often that, you would steal, you know, your street signs, put them up on the wall.
Until now, I haven't been there. I haven't quite finished it yet.
Mm, that would be the first level I would make.
Well,
honestly,
you do not get along with these people then, because first one they thought, you know, where there's a lot of signage, the sewers.
Right.
Okay. But so
a lot of foot traffic in the sewers.
Yeah.
You kind of start in the sewers. You go up through a subway. You go to the street level. You go to all these different sort of places. And they're just dressing. It really doesn't factor into the actual game that much. What you're playing is a 2D platformer where you can move panels sometimes. So in some of these areas, you can move the signs around to connect doors to different doors on other signs.
Cool.
It becomes kind of a jigsaw puzzle game.
Right.
Where you're trying to figure out the sequence you'd have to go through to like, well, there's a key in this panel on this sign, so I have to get to there at some point before the door that's on this one, but there's a ladder going down on that one, so it has to connect to a ladder going up for one of the others.
Right.
You puzzle out how to kind of run through this 2D maze. And then you move the signs around. As it goes on, it gathers complexity where, like, you know, puzzle game stuff where maybe there's electrical wires going between them, so they have to be in a certain configuration at certain times. Mm-hmm. If you disconnect the door that you've been through already, it'll reset where you are, so you can't just go into one and then move it to suit you.
Yeah, sure.
You have to kind of figure it out, but then even that changes up. It changes up the puzzle mechanics enough with every different sort of area that is always fresh feeling, even though it's a pretty simple concept.
Mm-hmm.
Just 2D platformer feel, you know, like a Flash game that's been remade.
Yeah, right.
Because the 3D environments look really cool and they're nice, but they don't factor into the game really at all.
Right.
You don't have to think, oh, this is behind there, so I need to move this or whatever.
Right.
Sometimes there's like pipes in the way or whatever, and you can't move your signs that much, but it's not super. It doesn't do a lot really with the visual design, which looks cool, but it doesn't translate into like interesting puzzles that I've seen. At least it all kind of could be rendered as just a 2D flat thing, which is a little disappointing, I guess, just because it is such a cool looking aesthetic.
Yeah, right.
And it's such a weird unique idea that it's a shame that the idea is almost purely visual.
Right.
And is there any like story or setup to why you're this little guy?
No, I think at the start it says you're an alien.
Right.
And then you just kind of become this thing.
Right.
And you're trying to like build a ship back home is the impression that I get.
Right.
And
so it's like an adaptation of Third Rock from the Sun.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or District 9, I guess. Does it have any apartheid references?
Not explicitly.
Okay.
I mean, the way that the world is, kind of everything can be traced back to the awful racial tension that we've created.
Yeah.
As the white race. Mm-hmm. But
that's the little... number 9 game to play. Yeah. Significant other.
Racial blame. it is not that engaging of a puzzle game. It's fun,
right?
It's a platformer style thing. But what you're doing is always basic enough that it's pretty easy to get your fill of it in quite a short session.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Because you're like moving a box to here, or you've got to figure out a way to get that key down to here. And you know, it's pretty typical 2D platformer puzzle type stuff that you've seen in a lot of other, especially indie games, in the recent past or in the entirety of the past.
Right. Okay.
But every video game thing is the relatively recent past.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's in context of human history.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like from the 50s at the earliest.
Yeah. Yeah,
I
okay.
would say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So... I'm enjoying it. It seems quite short. I'm nearly at the end. I didn't quite finish it before doing this.
What are you playing it on and how much was it?
It is only on the PC, I believe, only on Steam.
Right.
And it was $26, $28, something
okay.
like that.
All right.
So, it's probably worth the amount of money that it is if you're looking for a puzzle platformer type thing.
Sure.
The novelty of it carries it for quite a while and then... The puzzles are often clever enough for you to be like, yeah, cool. But sometimes they're like, oh, I see what I got to do here and it's a bit of a chore. Or I'm not quite sure what to do here, but not in a fun way.
Right.
It's just a bit messy.
Yep.
So it's a solid sort of 7-ish, 6-ish kind of, if I had to rate it out of 10, which I don't.
No.
So I don't know why I backed myself into that corner.
And everyone, just forget what he said.
Yeah.
Because he's not committing to it at all.
It's just fine if you're after a puzzle platformer, but it looks very cool. It's a very cool idea for the look. And like, I think it's trying to be funny with how ridiculous some of the placing of the signs is, because like there'll be statues just holding a street sign.
Right.
Right.
Well, that
right.
would never happen.
That's
not,
funny.
On my watch anyway.
That sounds like a real pisser. I'm loving it.
But yeah, it's decent.
Cool.
But not as it doesn't do as much with the concept as it might be cool to do.
Right.
Because the thing of moving a level around with your mouse and then platforming through it is a good idea.
Yeah.
But it's pretty simple with what it asks you to do with that stuff.
Right.
And when it does get more complex, it does tend to be a little bit obtuse rather than like, oh, I figured it out.
Yeah, right, right.
It's kind of trial and error. Maybe I'm a dumbass.
Is the movement of the bits of the level, is the movement 3D? Or is it
no,
literally
it's all taking place
it's
on a 2D
just
plane.
X and Y?
Yeah.
Right.
It's almost like one of those old kind of CD FMV games.
Right.
Where it would like run through a predetermined piece of footage
right.
to get you to the next play field. It could have been done as one of them in like 1992.
Yeah, okay.
The 3D stuff is really just dressing. At this point, like I said, I haven't finished it, but even if it does use that right at the end or whatever, I think that would be even more annoying because it's like, oh, you knew to do it,
right?
But you didn't for most of it.
Yeah. Right, okay, yeah.
Well, all you lovebirds, how about we get into this, all the lovers out there want to hear this list that we've been hyping up.
They've been sitting on the couch next to each other just like, all right, what? I don't know what to do. Mm. These boys are going to tell us what to play.
Yeah. I wish we had more than one AirPod so we didn't have to sit next to each other listening to it on this. We should have just uncoupled it and put it on the phone.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have just uncoupled, Sandra.
Oh,
maybe we should have.
Oh, wow.
If you don't like my AirPod. I spent whatever half of the price of normal AirPods is on this one AirPod.
$100?
Probably something like that.
Yeah.
I threw away the receipt because I was ashamed of it, like the receipt for my body pillow and my second switch.
Yeah, which is more shameful.
The second switch.
Yeah.
A pillow would surely be, I don't know how much anime pillows cost, but I'm guessing it's less
$79.95. than $79.95. I mean, I can't tell you. I couldn't.
And the anime pillow at least has a more practical use than the second version of a console that you already have.
And if you buy a second one, you can jack off twice. If you buy a second switch, you're only going to use one at once.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Buy two pillows, you get a threesome.
All right, fellas.
Yes.
Here's some good games to play with a significant other.
I've already given the real list, but sure, go ahead.
Well, a classic one. A lot of people probably thinking about this. Overcooked. Overcooked is the one that I hear people talk about a lot these days.
Oh, depends how solid your relationship is.
Absolutely.
Because that, much with regular, trying to cook, have you ever cooked like a big meal for lots of people with a partner.
I'm glad that you led into this, the person who does have a partner.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, sometimes cooking in real life with a partner can be frustrating.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
It is very much something like the way Gordon Ramsay, a lot of people don't know this, Gordon Ramsay is like how he is.
Because
he is
well.
Actually in a relationship with every one of those people in his kitchen.
Yes.
Oh, he's poly.
And they've got their family coming over for dinner in 3 hours and steam's coming out of his ears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he in the kitchen and in the bedroom, he is forced to scream, "It's raw!" like a condomless joke.
Oh, nice.
Good enough.
Oh, yeah, nice. No,
good enough. Really good.
This is free.
Sometimes I'm just like taken aback that there is a joke coming.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, like, yeah, I get caught off guard.
I agree with you, Ben. If I'm cooking for someone, you know, I try and have it pretty much all done before they come around.
Okay, yes.
I try and get the bulk of it done so that I'm just doing the last little bit. Because I also can't multitask very well.
Yeah,
so I hate
trying
to chat while I'm also like looking up, you know, measurements and stuff.
Often I find myself if I'm cooking and I'm sort of like cooking away, chopping up, and instead of them sort of carrying the conversation, which is what I want, they'll occasionally be like, "So do you need any help? Do you want any help?"
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like, yeah, just keep talking like as normal. Carry on the conversation as
sure.
You know.
You think of them as like a passenger seat driving type thing where it's like, well, it's your job to do the music. And the conversation.
Don't keep reaching for the wheel. Don't keep reaching for the wheel.
Yeah.
Or, well, maybe you need to make that very clear at the start then. When you pick up that knife, you say, "Now listen, I'm cooking."
Yeah, I would much rather just do the whole thing myself.
Yeah.
And then, hey, you know, next time, if you want to cook for me, you do the whole thing yourself and I don't have to worry about, you know.
But if you're doing the type of cooking where two people can help, when there's a lot of food, if you're cooking for a group or something like that.
Oh, yeah, for a group.
Having a chopper and a sizzler or something like that, having to find rolls can be good.
Sizzler.
Yeah.
Yeah, just go to a sizzler.
Yeah.
And have all you can eat lunch.
But Overcooked is one that I see come up a lot I hear about couples playing and couples that don't necessarily play games much at all.
Right.
Yeah.
If together. Mm-hmm. It is, but that's part of the fun. It's like fight inducing.
Yeah.
We're working off of a list, by the way, that Tommy saw. I don't know. We're just getting them from all over the place. But I want to throw in one that's just occurred to me.
Yeah.
Keep talking and no one explodes.
Nobody explodes. Played this.
Yes. It's really cool.
Yeah, right.
So the VR version is the one I've played.
Right.
Where you have one person with the VR helmet
on. Oh, yeah. This is the most interesting version of it.
Agreed. Because you can do it with just a screen where one person's looking at a screen and or the person in the VR is trying to defuse a bomb.
Yeah.
And it's got different panels on it that'll be either some kind of switch with like a color indicator or something. Lots of different things that will give some piece of information that the person looking at the bomb needs to relay to the second person who is looking at a manual of how to defuse a bomb. And that manual can either be printed out in real life or in the VR version, it's just on the screen for you.
Yeah.
Probably cheaper than printing out a fucking huge manual.
Yep.
Well, you got to buy the headset.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, the manual is extremely expensive.
You heard of the counter, the cost of printer ink these days?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, true. Yeah.
The Amazon is burning, Tommy.
So it's a game about communication when you can't see the same thing as the other person.
Right,
so you've got to clearly describe what each of you is seeing.
Right.
And that's fun. I really have enjoyed playing that when I played it.
That's a relationship encapsulated in a video game.
A bomb ready to explode.
Or try to communicate with each other.
Poor communication leads to the bomb exploding.
Yeah.
What do you guys think of this
Every
one?
Every time I get in a relationship, I set a bomb.
Every time I get in a relationship, we play that game at the start, and it's a really good test.
First date.
Yeah.
First date, play the game.
Yeah.
This list reckons, I've never played this game. What do you guys think? Portal 2.
Yep.
Oh, Great.
The co-op mode in that is really, really fun.
It's a good game. It's funny. Yeah.
I would say that possibly the only drawback from it was often with a couple, there's one person who plays games and one person who doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that common, at least in my experience, for both people to be as into games as each other
or
at the same skill level.
Yeah.
And Portal 2 does require a little bit of skill with aiming in first person.
Right.
So that could be the only drawback from it is that could be frustrating if one person isn't as familiar with controlling games.
Yep.
But other than that, fun co-op game.
Yeah.
What do you guys think of this? Bomberman. Is Bomberman good? I remember really liking it as a little kid, but...
Oh.
I don't think it's good unless you've got like 8 people playing it or whatever.
Yeah.
At which point any game is good. It's still firmly my opinion that every multiplayer game isn't good, or the majority of them aren't. It's just fun to do anything with other people.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
And Bomberman is very much one of them. And I think 2 people is not enough people to play Bomberman.
No, it's very boring and it just becomes sort of 2 people playing chicken.
Yeah.
Basically.
So that's one for only the polyamorous
groups
out there.
Yeah.
If you're in an 8-way relationship.
Yeah. Organizing a swingers party.
Mm. Yeah.
Pop on Bomberman at the same time.
Keys in the bowl because we're playing Bomberman. You can take a controller out. Just you don't need your keys while you're playing Bomberman. I'll put the bowl away. Don't worry.
Yeah, let us know if you're listening and you hosted a polyamorous Bomberman marathon on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
We want to hear from you.
Who blew first?
I will say from personal experience, even though you're not playing it together so much, Untitled Goose Game is a good one with a partner, especially if they don't really play games, because it's just like, it's all there. It's easy to control. Mm-hmm. It's just, even just the other person directing you and going, oh, go and fuck with that and see what happens.
You know what? Until Dawn and
the Telltale and games. Oh,
and,
yeah.
And that's like, we played Until Dawn and A Way Out on the YouTube channel that we have.
Yep.
And pretty surprisingly good backseat experiences, it appeared.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, I think I got the same out of playing it as you got out of watching it.
Yes.
Because those are, they're pretty much movies. They're choose your own adventure books. So
absolutely, yeah.
Maybe give one of those a go if you've got 8 fucking hours.
yeah.
Yes.
Mario Kart goes without saying, of course.
Mm-hmm. I said it earlier, so a little insulting, but okay.
Nidhogg. What do you think of Nidhogg?
I never got as into Nidhogg as a lot of like reporters and stuff, I guess, seem to.
Yeah.
Nidhogg was a very critical darling sort of thing,
I feel like.
Both of them.
We played the second one and I found it very frustrating.
Yeah. I think it's in the category of like you both need to be pretty good at it for it to
Or both of you have to be really bad at it.
I found it kind of boring.
Yeah.
Personally, and I've played it a couple different times and
I mean, it's like playing Street Fighter. Like, it's just kind of a fighting game, really.
Yeah, but less interesting to me. Where it's fun enough, but it isn't, unless you have that perfect matchup. But even then, you've reached a stalemate position pretty easily.
Yeah. Sure, and I think it's only interesting for, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So, what are you going to do after that?
So,
I don't have any ideas.
This is one I've talked about before. Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time.
I hate that game.
Do you really?
Yeah. I think it fucking sucks.
Wow.
Well, I don't like that thing of having to spin plates. I don't find that fun in any game where things are just constantly like, there's not quite enough of this, or I have to run up there.
You would have hated FTL then.
Yeah, I didn't like it that much.
Right.
But Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time is the annoyance of never quite being able to accomplish the task you're trying to do, and also having a required multiplayer, which I don't like anything that doesn't have a single player thing, and B, the style of multiplayer is kind of like that Overcooked thing of just not being able to do everything at once, but getting annoyed because the other person isn't, or the other person getting annoyed with you because you're not.
Yeah.
Because of course you are, because I just didn't find it fun at all.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. I had a good time with it, but it's definitely give it a try, and hey, some relationships probably not cut out for it.
Maybe
some probably thrive on it.
Yeah. Maybe we should just be likers in a Dangerous Space-Time.
I've never heard of this one, Monaco. You guys heard of that?
I've heard of the place.
I
haven't heard of the place enough to confidently say city or country, though.
It's a city-state, I believe.
That's why.
It's a small kingdom within, I'm going to say, France?
Sure.
Yeah. They got a Grand Prix there. Grace Kelly was the princess.
What, are you the fucking king? There's so much Monaco shit.
Yep. I don't know what the video game is, though. I forgot that's what we're talking about.
I'm trying to find ones that are we haven't talked about yet that I actually know what they are. This list, I'm on a different list now. This list seems to think Grand Theft Auto Online.
Oh, yeah. Why did we pick this list to look at then? What was the...
I've moved on to a different list.
Any game that isn't split screen or on the same screen. Maybe it works for some people, but both of you being on separate machines playing a game online together seems ludicrous to me.
Yeah.
And I own two Switches.
Yeah. From my experiences of games and partners, a lot of them have been really into watching me play games.
Right.
So
cut to you demanding they sit and watch you play this game. I'm like, I'm not that interested in this.
You're
loving this.
I remember specifically.
Did you come yet?
The Last of Us. A really engrossing game to watch, apparently.
Yeah.
It is. It's like watching an incredibly tense horror movie with good storytelling
then
and characters.
Netflix shows, and like a game with a good story is a great TV show.
Yes, yeah.
So,
well, we talked about it earlier, but yeah, I kind of wish I was going through Kentucky Route Zero with my girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's just a cool story.
I wish that Kentucky Route Zero could be like, you could give it to someone to borrow like a book. Like there are so many people
that don't
I
play
know.
Games, yeah.
Yeah, who would just really, really love that game. And you don't need to be good at games to play that game.
No.
It's just a point and click, basically. Mm. If someone can invent just like a little portable thing to share
games on.
It's
barely even a point and click.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a whole lot of point.
Fuck, it could be like an iPhone game.
Google Stadia, Apple Arcade, all of that shit. Surely it'll come out on phones.
I reckon it will eventually, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's basically...
The text, though, is quite small on it.
Oh, yeah, that's
true.
Even
on my second Switch. God.
That's kind of all the big ones, I think.
Yeah.
You know, there's your obvious ones too, like, I guess, Mario Party maybe.
Sure.
Like, yeah, a good racing game like Mario Kart or whatever, but... But yeah, those are the
old adventure games, Monkey Island and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Anything that is like that you can just immediately pause and stop doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's like I would never say that. That's the thing I don't like about Nidhogg and all of that. Those like high intensity ones aren't the sort of thing I like to do.
I kind of think I'm more into like just, a kind of a placid experience where the person that you're with is kind of talking it through with you and kind of co-commentating it.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, anytime I've like, you know, dated someone who's like, oh, I love Mario Kart, let's play Mario Kart. And they don't play games and it's like, you know, fun and all because there's a lot happening and it's very silly. But it's also like, yeah, but I've played this a lot.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm just going to be really good at, you know what I mean? Like, I would rather like not be competitive, like actually just kind of like go through something solo.
Yeah.
It's just got like some key choices here and there.
Yeah, the Telltale games, you know, the ones with the better ones would be really fun to play.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I reckon that'll do us for another week here on Filthy Casuals. Thanks, guys, for listening. Hope you have a kind Valentine's Day, whatever you're doing, even if you don't subscribe to it. Hey, treat yourself to a big old night of just you, glass of red, and some Kentucky Route Zero.
Oh, yes.
Some Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh, man, that's a fucking good idea.
Yeah.
God, I could go some Dirty Bird. I'm hungry. Thanks very much for listening. Head to filthycasuals.com.au for links to all the socials and our Patreon. You can find a link there. We do a bonus episode every week that you can get if you subscribe. We also have our YouTube channel where we've done a couple of Let's Plays, all sorts of stuff on there. Head out and see the Sonic the Hedgehog movie if you want to hear our big discussion next week. But thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
Mario's red, Sonic is blue. From us at Filthy Casuals, we love you.
Whoa!
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vanilla as fuck.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.